Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast here, we have an all-pundit show going with Jesse Wadhams, Randy Thompson, and Alex Goff. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions, and all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're going with an all-pundit show today. We have a great lineup for you. Alex Goff is here, the Democratic National Committeeman. Randy Thompson is here, Nevada State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. And Jesse Wasm, I can't even say his name. I'm so excited to have you here. Jesse Wadhams is here with Black and Wadhams, attorney at law. And let's start with you, Jesse. So this whole blockchain smart city deal that the governor is putting forward, I was kind of curious to get your take on it because you represent a lot of mining companies and therefore a lot of rural Nevada. And I was wondering what the thoughts were from those areas.
You know, Sam, appreciate being here, and I appreciate the question because, and it's you raise an interesting point because that the concept, at least that we've seen from the governor's office out of the innovation zones, could have some interesting applications, particularly in those rural counties where land assemblage could happen. So, but we're still very early in understanding what exactly the governor's looking at, and we've only seen the conceptual language that has sort of been generally shared. I think there is, you know, there's interest, there's skepticism, there's sort of like, let's see how this sort of looks as we get some meat on the bones. Because as you know, we've still really only seen this at the most conceptual level, but it does raise interesting questions, especially in counties where you can put together land positions that this sort of would require.
Well, I'm looking at places like Elko County where you do have huge ranches, some million acres, and Eureka County where so much mining goes on, and then looking at the potential for Story County to lose a chunk of its own county to this new facility. I think it would, if I were a county commissioner in Elko or Eureka counties, I'd be feeling a little bit nervous.
You know, I know. I think you're exactly right because it as at least conceptualized, it requires a lot of land. You know, and candidly, mining companies have a fair amount of land position. It also does have, you know, these components of removing the governance of these counties in certain places. So, I think you're going to see, like I said, some level of skepticism, particularly in those counties. Where you can put together land positions like that. But again, I think we still need to, at the end of the day, still need to see how this looks because talking about it in at this conceptual level gets very difficult because we don't have a lot of detail to sort of sink your teeth into because the devil always is going to be in how the words on the page look for the legislature.
You know, and Randy, you know, so many times legislators and this time the governor float ideas before bills come out so that they can get this kind of feedback and understand what they're dealing with before they actually put stuff on the page.
Well, they probably should at least talk to the senator who represents that area before they floated it
to
the
governor.
He
will be here next week.
Very good. And I agree with Jesse. What is the detail? Is it just the 67,000 acres that they have? I imagine that your friend, the county commissioner from Story County, is not real happy at losing that tax revenue. There's not a lot of homes in Story County that they can get revenue from, and they don't want to have a lot of homes in Story County. They really are depending upon that business income and that property tax income. So that's a big chunk of change that Story County is losing. And I don't think Roger Norman and his gang ever thought that would happen, that they would secede from the county.
And just one more thing before I get to Alex here. This is reminiscent a little of Bullfrog County.
Yep.
And you would know, so because this is a while back, so would you explain to people what Bullfrog County was, what happened, and how it may pertain to this?
Yes, back under Governor Bryan's days, Bullfrog County was a group of folks that wanted to take Yucca Mountain and create its own county and get it out of Nye County, and because they wanted Yucca Mountain and they wanted to have the repository there. And so they floated this idea to the legislature as well of creating this county, and it was squashed very quickly. It really was. But again, same kind of thing, autonomous, and they had a purpose for that county, which was to operate the repository there and thus get all the tax revenue from it too, which would have been significant.
So Alex, a lot of Democrats have been unhappy about the situation in Story County, where Story County is creating all these jobs, and you know, people are living in Washoe County, they're living in Reno Sparks, and the costs associated with this are therefore, they say, going to those counties. The argument against it is, yes, but you know, look at all the money that's being spent in your stores and your services, et cetera. That is $1 billion income. What's your position on all this?
So on the innovation zone specifically?
Okay,
so the innovation zones, it's being tethered to technology that I think is very new and has a lot of promise and opportunity, but I think right now is in this very infantile stages, right? There was a lot of excitement, I remember, when the Washoe County Recorder had announced that they were going to start putting records on the blockchain. But I remember at the time hearing that, well, the next logical place to go could potentially be voting. But there's been a lot of drawbacks and reasons why we've not accelerated that fast. And so I think it's exciting whenever we start talking about new technology, but I think there's a lot of reasons potentially to be cautious about this. And so I think that as this continues to get worked through, hopefully what's presented to the legislature is a little bit, you know, a tighter final package. But I do have concerns about the infancy of the technology, and are we ready to accelerate it in this way?
Jesse, the discussion over the last couple of weeks has been about Assemblywoman Cohen's idea of getting rid of natural gas within less than 10 years. Randy's already shaking her head, so I think we know her position. But again, what's mining's position in this? Because they've got gas-fired generators going in the state, as does NV Energy. So for those that think that this is pro-NV Energy and against Southwest Gas, that really isn't true.
You raise an interesting point, because it not only do the mining companies have gas-fired power plants, they do have a coal-fired power plant, and it's particularly in the rural communities as well. How those places can heat their homes is a huge issue. I think, you know, understanding how the rollout of the Southwest Gas bill and Assemblywoman Cohen's bill sort of works is going to be, it creates a number of issues, I think, and we're going to see a fair amount of pushback. I know Randy's probably already chomping at the bit to mention hers, but I think we need to focus in on all manner of how we move towards a much more green energy system across the board. And I think all items need to be sort of looked at in totality. You don't want to just say we're not going to use this one, we're not going to use that one. It just doesn't quite work that way. We need to have an economic basis for moving forward.
Okay, Randy, we're removing the bit, so go ahead and talk.
I know, I'm fighting with my IFB here. Well, I think specifically restaurants. Restaurants use a lot of BTU. So when it comes to natural gas, it is a critical component for the business sector. Nevada Energy
and housing.
Oh, well, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, we have just gone through and built all these new developments that are all naturally gas, you know, and piped through for natural gas. We've got a heck of an infrastructure already in place. Nevada Energy has been for decades now moving off of coal and onto natural gas because it is a fairly clean burning fuel. So, and it's so prominent in Nevada. And when I read that bill, I'm saying, okay, at least we're going to start the discussion in 2023, but you're already just starting the discussion now. I just don't see how you get away from an infrastructure. And all I'm going to say is just look at Texas.
Right.
And all you saw how their renewable energies just literally froze. Their windmills just froze because and solar doesn't work in a snowstorm. So we have got to have a full array of a variety of fuel sources in order to power our country, period.
You know, it's interesting that the situation in Texas, tragic as it is, occurred at a time that we're having this discussion in Nevada. And again, without really a bill to look at and see the outlines of it. But are we rushing too quickly into the future? And are we not taking into account that people in every home would have to take out their, their cooking range or their washer dryer or all the other things that are gas powered to replace them with electricity? And we look at Texas and go, well, you know, they were hardly ready for the electrical system to go down. California wasn't ready last year for the heat wave. And Nevada also ended up not really paying a price, but being on alert.
You know, what I would say is that the hard part when we start talking about the effects of global warming or climate change is that so much of the cost is going to be borne out in the future. And so currently right now, we're able to discuss, you know, how much would it cost to change infrastructure, new properties, et cetera, et cetera. But as climate starts changing in areas of the world that are habitable now become inhabitable later, as this causes wars refugee crises, all this is going to have a cost as well. So the problem with the conversation is always the ability to price externalities. Right now there are communities that are suffering because of certain ways we produce energy. And so until we can properly price these things into the energy market so that we can have an honest conversation about what is the actual cost of each decision that we make, it's very difficult because, yes, on the surface you would say, yes, you know, all of our houses have infrastructure for natural gas, but it's difficult to actually talk about the cost of these things, which I think is going to be greater in the future.
Well, and Jesse, you know, I mean, we look at tax situations, for example, the national debt, and I don't know what it is per family these days, but, you know, let's just take a number and say, it's under $100,000, but still, the average family could not afford to pay $100,000, but I don't think the average family could afford to pay for refitting their home for electricity, paying the increased cost of electricity, which they would have to pay because the power company would have to pass that on to their consumers. It just seems like we're going into such rush. Also, one other thing which I thought was kind of amusing as I thought of it, which is, you know, do the mining companies that have their own power plants suddenly start selling their electricity on the wholesale market because they can get more money than they can for extracting minerals from the ground? I'm joking.
They can become their own power plant.
Unfortunately, I don't know that there's a pro forma out there for them to do that just yet. But, you know, I think you hit on that exactly the point. And Alex, I think, hit on it too, is we have a lot of costs in the infrastructure, but all of these things are going to require understanding replacing infrastructure that is in people's homes right now, in people's businesses, as we move forward to fight global warming, fight climate change generally. It just strikes me that part of having the conversation about this is important. I think we need to understand what a new kind of infrastructure looks like. Again, Texas is a great example, you know, and while I don't think it was just the renewable energy that failed, it was clearly that we need to look at how we upgrade all of these components. Energy delivery, and again, I am not an expert, but it is complex. You're moving stuff across grids, the interconnections of all of these components, lots of transmission that keeps all of this stuff working. All of this has to be sort of understood at a much more how the pieces fit together, and that's going to have real costs. And as we pull pieces apart to take them off the grid, that also has to be understood, that you will have to replace it with something else because the grid needs to remain viable. So it's complex.
I think it may be the wrong discussion at the wrong time for a state that has such a high unemployment rate still, mm-hmm. and people struggling to pay their rents, landlords struggling to make their payments to their mortgage companies. Maybe it's a discussion a little further down the road. But let's take a break. We'll come back. Great panel here. We'll be back after this.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Penny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got a great all-pundit show going with Alex Goff, Randy Thompson, and Jesse Wadhams. So Randy, marijuana lounges. You know, we've been talking.
I haven't been there, I promise.
We have not had them yet, but Mary Lau said a couple of years ago on this program that if the casinos put in a marijuana lounge right across from the buffet, that they can charge $100 a plate for the buffet and have it with no problems.
The buffet would just be Doritos.
Do you think that we're going to see anything like that coming out of this legislative session at a time when we need money?
Well, it's interesting to see, if you look at the pot sales in Nevada starting in April, it goes all those unemployed.
Hang on, for people listening to audio podcasts and on the radio, Voop is an upside.
Went way up. I mean, I think it was like 30-40% increase in pot sales because all these people were unemployed. They were getting $600 a week, and they weren't getting drug tested. So pot sales went off the charts in April, May, June, July, August. So we got a lot of revenue, thank goodness, from pot. You know, I don't understand really the difference. Now that it's a legal substance in Nevada, why can't you sit and smoke a joint just like you could sit and have a drink? Realistically, I don't understand why not. Alcohol is just as impairs you just as much as pot does. So why not? I mean, let's just be realistic. We've made it legal now, and let's let people enjoy it. I was in Vegas in November, and I got tired of smelling pot in the hallway of my hotel. So I'd much rather have it be in a contained area. Because it kind of makes sense. So, but I haven't seen anything. I don't know if Jesse's seen. I haven't seen anything yet on them in any bill drafts. That, but I haven't looked at too many pot bills lately. I don't work for them this session, so I don't have to look at their bills.
Yeah, Jesse, have you seen anything? You know, now that Tick Sagerblum is on the Clark County Commission, maybe he has more interest in getting it legalized in Clark County rather than the state.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on exactly that. The grandfather of pot in the state is now sort of moved on to focusing in on the Clark County issues, and which are probably maybe somewhat more complex because of the gaming component there. But so far, I haven't seen anybody really pick up the mantle in the legislature yet that has said, like, let's really get after like things like lounges and those concepts. So again, and I tend to agree with Randy. I think we've already made it legal. Let's make places where you can utilize it.
You have thoughts on this, Alex?
I mean, I think Jesse hit it out of the park, right? I mean, it's legal here in the state. The voters have decided that for a while now. And so it certainly makes sense that tourists that come here shouldn't be made illegal because we've not provided them anywhere to do it. So, of course, if you live in Nevada, you can always consume it in your home. But if you're traveling across the state or you're visiting the state, we're a very tourist-friendly state, we should certainly allow for consumption. It only makes sense.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a former marketing director at Harrah's several years ago when they went, and they still do, these giant concerts up at the lake. And I'd gotten reports of marijuana smoke being very heavy at these concerts. And I said, you know, are you doing any policing of this? He said, no, there'd be a riot.
Purple haze in Tahoe. Yeah.
To say the least. Yeah. Jesse, you know, this is such an interesting session financially, because even though we've got these giant holes in the budget, we're sitting here with the likelihood that the Biden administration will be able to get this $1.9 trillion or something close to it, probably through budget reconciliation. So how does that play into, you know, how you do the budgeting when you're not going to know maybe for another month or so, you know, what kind of money you could possibly anticipate?
Well, you hit on that, on part of that issue, right, Sam, is not only did, and I think to the governor's great credit, he proposed a balanced budget based upon revenues that we understand them at this moment, right? And we know that the tax revenue is coming in better than the worst case projections. And we overlay that with what could be, and I've seen different reports, somewhere between something like $2 billion and $4 billion in state bailout to Nevada alone. And so you have this, as near as I can tell, and again, this is a weird session just because we don't have that ability to see how, you know, if things are interacting, how you know, how rumors kind of play through the building. You just kind of, I think there's a sense of we just kind of have to wait and see how this budget sort of continues to develop. I mean, obviously Chair Carlton and Chair Brooks are going to walk through the state the gov recommendations across the board. And then I think by the time we get to May, we should have some better insight as to tax revenue and whatever bailout may come. And that will change all of the dynamics of the governor's recommended budget, the possibility of any tax increases. So we are in such a weird wait and see moment. You just kind of have this, everybody's holding their breath, really, it seems to me.
Well, let's hold our breath for 2 minutes so I'll get some commercials in here and pay our bills and we'll be right back.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at Reno's newest steakhouse, Nevada Steak.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're wrapping up here with our great All Pundit Show with Alex Goff, Randy Thompson, and Jesse Wadhams. Randy, do you want to follow up on this budget situation and how crazy this is, where, you know, yes, the governor has given a balanced budget, but we could be getting literally billions more dollars coming in.
So I was talking with a client yesterday, and we were talking about one of our bills that might have a fiscal note. And I said, well, hopefully we don't have to worry about fiscal notes by May. So the same thing as Jesse said, we don't know what the budget is. I applaud the legislature for going through the budget process and really honing in on all the departments and getting budgets fixed. And then I think they need to plan for if they get it. You know, let's not all throw it to K-12 education. There's a lot of other resources that the state needs. I hope that they maybe look at an infrastructure bill to sum it to the point of what you're talking about on renewable energies. I'd like to see us really focus those funds that we get on some good long-term job-creating positions. We really need to get Nevadans back to work more than anything.
We do, but for example, in Northern Nevada, Alex, and you just got about 20 seconds here, it's really hard to find roofers or people to do HVAC. So if you do a massive infrastructure bill, where are you going to get the people to do the work?
It's also interesting, I saw something last night on the news about even the cost of supplies are going up. Which is causing a lot of housing issues in Northern Nevada. Sure, you know, there's a lot of exciting things about infrastructure. You know, the treasurer's proposed funding an infrastructure bank, and hopefully we are able to get some infrastructure projects online because I think...
Yeah, but go back to my question.
But with job training.
People?
Yeah, got to do job training.
Look, right, I mean...
Workforce development is key this year. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Randy. That was a great ventriloquist act there.
Listen, just helping out, just shorten him up a little bit.
Thank you all very much. This was a great panel. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you in Carson City next week. And we'll be right back. Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.